This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Heading towards Christmas. How fantastic, huh?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
This song reminds me of Home Alone.
Oh, yeah? Have you watched that? They've been showing it on DSTV over and over again. I don't watch TV at home.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've been to either my brother's house or my parents, it's on. Mm. Home Alone's been on every single time. Or Home Alone 2, the one where they're in New York City.
Then after that, they ruined it.
Macaulay Culkin and...
that's all I know.
I want to say Joe Pesci. Was he in it? I think he was the small, short, bad guy. I think it was Joe Pesci.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a very American.
Yes, it was Joe Pesci. Yeah,
very American Christmas song. This.
I mean, I woke up schwitzing slightly this morning, so that's how warm it is mid-December.
You were schwitzing this morning when you woke up?
Ever so slightly schwitzing.
I hope you hopped in the shower.
Yeah, yes. So we cannot actually be singing about...
No,
weather outside,
snow. I mean, come on,
thick snow outside. None of that is happening.
Well, you know, they had this huge controversy, which is just such a nothing burger.
Excuse me.
You don't know
a
that
nothing
it,
burger.
Okay, so let me go through this one expression at a time. So, a nothing burger is when people make a mountain out of a molehill. So, if something's really not a big deal or it has no basis in fact, and people are talking about it like it's true, you call it a nothing burger.
Why does it
like,
take so long
like
to learn
let's
that?
Say, for example, if you look back at the Hillary Clinton Benghazi thing, there were all those emails, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to make it look like Hillary had actually caused the death of those people in Benghazi, in the embassy. Which you could argue, like, in some indirect way, she might have. But it's a nothing burger.
It's a nothing burger.
It's like if I say that... I have suspicions that you, I don't know, stole some piece of stationery around here, but there's no evidence whatsoever. And we find out that there is no evidence. In fact, we go through the camera footage and you're not even near the stationery cupboard. Then it's a nothing burger. Apart from being a horrible accusation, it's also a nothing burger.
But also just back to Hillary Clinton, maybe a nothing burger, but not a nothing pizza. Because,
you know, Pizzagate. But that's also, isn't that a nothing burger?
It's a nothing burger. Nothing has come out of it.
Yeah, so there was this nothing burger about the words to Baby It's Cold Outside. Did we cover this? I don't know if it came up in the news.
I think slightly.
So, you know that song, Baby It's Cold Outside, and he's trying to get her to stay, and she thinks she should go, but she does want to stay. Mm. And in the end, she stays. I mean, the song isn't like, you get all these... complete nutcase feminists, these raving lunatics on the far left who go, oh my god, the song is about rape culture. And that's how they actually sound. Rape culture. They sound like that. I mean, it's a song that was written in the 1940s or 50s. That's kind of how people used to talk to each other, you know? And when I played it, Let It Snow, it suddenly made me think of that. Because now in Canada, certain radio stations are not allowed to play this song.
Let It Snow?
No, Baby It's Cold Outside.
Oh, Baby It's Cold Outside. Well,
because
still
she goes,
I really
can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside. I gotta go away. Baby, it's cold outside. Mm. This evening has been hoping that you dropped in.
So very nice.
See, so she's not saying she's had a shit time and she's feeling like the guy's being rapey. So he goes, I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
I'll put on some records while I pour.
And
I mean,
now
this is
the
how people,
song has been banned.
This is how people date. I hate to break it to you, but this is kind of how people end up in each other's pants and how you came about. Really? I mean,
this is how we came about.
This is called flirting. And then I just want to go through it. Maybe there are a couple of lines here that we can argue about. But, you know, the neighbors might think, baby, it's bad out there. So what's in this drink? No cabs to be had out there. I wish you knew how.
Oh.
My eyes are like starlight now.
Sorry, that's a line. What's in this drink?
Yeah, well, like, is it a... Because it's obviously a cocktail or something.
Is it a Cosby cocktail?
Oh, I hope not. But before Bill Cosby... I mean, listen, maybe he got ideas from the song, but this is a pre-Bill Cosby song, right? I'll break the spell. I ought to say no, 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 sir. Moving closer. At least I'm going to go... I'm going to say that I tried. What's the sense of hurting my pride? I really can't stay. Baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside. Oh, you're pushy, you know. I like to think of it as opportunistic. And then it carries on. But honestly, this is flirtation. Have we reached a point of crazy where we can't turn back?
We're borderline there.
I heard some... Yeah.
That's why, to me, though, it's so much as speaking to this in the times that we're living in today, and it's just a no-go zone. So much as. What's going to become of all of this?
But it's words. Now, I don't know where this came from. And by the way, that was written by a woman, Idina Menzel, right? Sorry, it wasn't written by her. She sang it. Sorry, quite right. It was Dean Martin originally. But what I don't get is that we've given words so much power. Because the person who's, like, even if Bill Cosby is singing it, we've had parodies on here. Mm-hmm. Should I not be playing those because they sound rapey? I mean, Bill Cosby is rapey. That's presenting him in a way that he actually is.
Mm.
And I don't understand how people got to a stage where words became as powerful as actual violence. If someone says something that is mildly chauvinistic, that does not in any way make them as dangerous as a man who gets home every night and hits his wife. There's no way they can be compared, right?
Yes and no.
Okay, explain.
Yes, I totally hear what you're saying, and then no.
We've lost a sense of scale is what I'm trying to get to.
Do you think it's extreme comparison?
Yeah, I mean, are you telling me? You say yes and no.
Mm.
I mean, you're good at covering your tracks, right? Okay. You are. Yes. You don't want to commit too much to one side of the argument on this mm-hmm. one, which is why you're saying it's a bit yes, it's a bit no. So if I say something mildly chauvinistic, like, oh, that's a job a woman couldn't do. It's, you know, it could be like bricklaying.
Okay.
There are not that many women who bricklay, you know? So maybe I say that and you think, oh, well, that's mildly chauvinistic. Now, hardcore outrage people who make a living out of being pissed off the whole time.
What is the poet the other day that we found on Twitter, who's a parody account? Titania.
Titania.
Titania. Yes.
So people like her, she would say that it is as bad to talk like that as it is to get home and hit your wife.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't compare the two.
So you're not saying that they're even on the same...
Not at all.
Okay. Then we don't have an argument.
Oh, okay.
And if we did have an argument, we'd be fine, Sia. You're allowed to argue with me.
We agree to disagree.
Well, everybody's allowed to argue with me.
We agree, definitely. But I don't find it a point to compare. And I think that is where we've lost and tipped the scale over slightly as society. Where everything is a comparison and we hold everything high up. And
absolutely. I'll put it to you this way. A woman who is actually being physically abused by her husband is not worried about the lyrics to Baby It's Cold Outside.
She has more serious
She has
to worry
real
about.
Shit going on in her life. And trust me, the song is not going to trigger her either. What she's got to deal with is a way worse situation than what some activist has with this song. And it seems to me almost disrespectful, almost disregarding her in some way, writing off her experience, writing her off as a living, breathing soul who's got real problems, to dig around for problems in a song that was written in the 50s.
Well,
it's crazy.
You use the term experience, and someone like Titanium to Terrorist, whoever, do you think, I'm not discrediting what she's been through or what she's done, but do you think she's had the toughest of life of physical abuse or...
What, a made-up activist?
Yeah.
No, well, we don't even, could even be a man.
Well, just so. Using her hypothetically.
Yeah, I'm talking about these, you know, blue or pink-haired, like, body positivity, ableist, non-ableist, gender fluid. You know, these people who are making shit up about themselves to be individual, to be special, to be different. No, I don't think those people have real problems. I don't think any of those people have a real issue in their lives. They're not starving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they are under physical threats of violence every day. I don't think that they're dealing with hardship of any kind. They're probably at university, which makes them among the 1% most privileged people that have ever lived in human history. So I don't think those kind of people are ever in peril.
Mm.
I don't think those kind of people ever know what it's really like to struggle and to suffer and to be an honest victim, because they're dishonest victims. They're trying to equate their position in a victim hierarchy to that of someone who's a real sufferer.
See, so going back to the word that you used, experience, they're trying to grapple at something and given their experience.
No, they because they've grown up around people who tell stories of hardship, and that's how you get on the news in the 2010s. What do they call us now? They call this age?
What is it?
You know, anywhere from 2010 to 2020. They call it like the tens, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like you called it the 90s or the thousands or whatever. So anybody who's grown up now, you realize that to get on the news, you need to have some sob story. And therefore, they've got to find a way to be victims themselves. So they calculate that if they make themselves a victim, if they paint themselves as being under threat the whole time, then they'll get the attention. And this is what spoiled kids do, is they play one parent against the other, or they cry because they didn't get the toy that they wanted in the shop and it makes them feel bad and they think, oh my God, my life is so terrible. But they've forgotten that before they got into the shop, they were perfectly happy. And they've forgotten that there are probably friends of theirs who don't even have a hot meal that night. But at that moment, they feel like a victim, so it gives them the opportunity to feel sorry for themselves and to get attention. And that's really what people want now. It's just attention.
See,
like, if you have a problem with baby, it's cold outside, you need a therapist. That's the truth.
I really just don't get that. Because for me, one of the things that I'm truly grateful for and what I always count as someone who was born the year that I was born and into the family that I was born into and into the country that I was born in,
mm-hmm.
is being able to rattle off a long list of things that make it incredible to live today, as
right.
opposed to trying to
find reasons
rattle
to
off
be cross.
A long list of why it's so horrible. Like,
mm-hmm.
that just also speaks to your outlook, how you go out in life and go, well, this person hates me and this is so horrible. Excuse me, well, we live in freaking 2018 and South Africa is one of the best constitutions.
Right, I always want to say to those people, you are not Nelson Mandela. You did not spend 27 years in jail. You have not suffered. Just shut up.
Just don't even start it. Don't try to go there. I really don't understand.
Right.
We see it every time there's a petrol price hike. We see it every time there are issues at the elections. Those are things that a large majority of people grapple with. You know, what someone has now said on Twitter, what has trended and is misconstrued or whatever the case is, those, yeah, they're issues to 5 people, but not 55 million people
That's
who
right.
now have to deal with.
That's right.
Price hike of petrol
and
bread
always,
and milk.
I always think in South Africa's context, and I actually think this is an appropriate thing for the last show for me of the year, because we're looking back at 2018, and it has been... It's been a difficult year for a lot of us. It's been a difficult year for South Africa. But I've had a great year. I've loved every single second of 2018. And the little things that irritated me about this year are so minor that if you think about them too much, it's going to cloud your judgment about the whole year.
Mm.
I genuinely think humanity has never been so fortunate. I mean, I told you I went to this Chinese store to buy a Christmas present. I found a machine that peels an apple. I found
this
a machine
really the love
that,
of
can,
your
read,
life right
that
now.
Can read the temperature without a thermometer. It uses infrared light. Now, to me, those might look like stupid things, but do you know how many human labor hours throughout history, whether it was slaves, servants, mothers, wives, daughters, children, whoever it was, how many people spent their lives peeling apples and peeling fruit and veg of some kind. That was their whole job. There was like, you'd get to the kitchen of the lord of the castle 400 or 500 years ago, and you'd have to peel potatoes from 6 in the morning till 6 at night.
Ugh.
Can you imagine? Now there's a machine. You plug it into the wall, you pop the potato on, and it's done in seconds. You could peel the same number of potatoes in, like, if you were comparing it to the medieval times, because they didn't have a potato peeler even, like a handheld one. You used to use a knife. And they had to sharpen it, and God knows, it probably cut their finger off by mistake. And, I mean, these were not fun things for humans to go through. So I go into the shop, I see this potato or this apple peeler, and I'm like, wow, it is so fantastic that shitty job has been taken over by a machine.
And not the beginning of, South Africa's a third world country and we aren't in a first world country where there are robots already to peel things like for us.
What I love about those people is they're very happy for someone else to sit and peel potatoes all the time and to stand up for their right to peel the potatoes. They never bother to ask that potato peeler, hey, would you prefer a machine did this and you could do something else? Mm-hmm. And they always inevitably will say, yes. Because who's thrilled to be a potato peeler?
But you don't even ask, so...
No, they never ask. It's the same people who never ask if someone else is offended. Mm. They get offended on their behalf. So those people got to shut up. Things are great.
Well, I know we will cover some of these in the burning platform a little later, but I just think 2018 was a good year because it started really in the swing of things on Valentine's Day.
Jacob Zuma resigning.
You see, that was a new dawn, a new day. And according to Claudio Motsoeneng most recently now, we're ending the year off with fresh air with his political party. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's the slogan. It's ACM, if I'm not mistaken. African Content Movement. Don't ask me to explain what that is, because I'm still not clear whether it's content or content. You know, people are content, or he's creating content.
I don't think he knows.
Regardless, it just doesn't make sense. But he says,
Vladimir Tsunheng, what do you expect? You're dealing with an intellectual lecture. That's what he called himself. He called himself a lecture, an intellectual lecture. I mean, the guy's, he's basically, he's a very, very, very low intelligence human being. Very low IQ. Anyway,
so fresh air. Yeah.
I got a message from Mabali yesterday about President Zuma, which I thought was very funny. She sent me that clip of him launching his Instagram and his Twitter account.
Oh, Ubaba.
And she said, ugh. She said, my dad wears shirts like that. I'm so conflicted. So I just laughed. But it did make me think. And I actually got one of our listeners, a guy called Andre, sent me a clip of Mabali just losing her shit. Always happened around this time of year. So I feel like we need to play this clip of her. You were busy telling the story of a friend of yours who struggles to get to work. I thought this was so funny because it was just like a real thing that you don't find very easily in the media world today. And it was Mabali just like losing it over someone who's asked to smile at the office.
I have a friend who lives in Soweto and she works in Sunning Hill and she has to take public transport. So that's a good...
hour and a half.
Yeah, hour and a half, bordering on 2 hours of a commute, you know, just there and back as well. And she was called into a disciplinary hearing at work because a lot of her co-workers were complaining that she did not smile enough in the morning.
Oh, fuck them. Fucking cunts. They must get fucked. Yes, sis.
She goes,
oh, that's good.
I don't smile. Do you know how tough I have it? Fuck you, piece of shit.
All right, my buddy. All right. So we need to get Mab some comments early in the morning. Yes, go ahead, ma'am, sir. Who is this? Wow. How's that, huh? Just like a little trigger there. I reckon Mabali was asked once in a previous job to like smile, and she got very upset by that. But it was cute. So we sent that to her this morning as well.
Yes, and she does send us love, though.
She couldn't make it. We were going to do a whole Christmas special. And you know, the other person who couldn't make it this morning, I'm very annoyed about this, but what can you do, is Justice Malala. We wanted him to do the last burning platform of the year. You know, he's in Los Angeles now. And he sent us a message. Look, I understand. The time difference is huge. It's
It's 10 hours. No, it's not bad, actually.
Is it 12? Is it 11?
He's 10 hours behind us, so it's actually like 9 p.m.
So what's the story? I thought it was way later.
I know you're trying to stand up for him, but I'm a bit tipped. Right. So it's fine.
No, thanks, Justice. So we weren't going to have... we've got a great guest for the Burning Platform today, but it's not Justice Malala, and I was kind of annoyed because I wanted to get him in. All the constant soapbox shouting is why I've left Twitter, says Michelle. I'm only on Instagram and happier than I've been in a long time without the constant negativity. They're the Bible bashers of our time, Michelle. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more about how happy. Like, I've got Twitter. I've given the logins to my business partner.
Mm-hmm.
She uses it, and we use it to market this channel. And I still got like, 1.92 million people on there. But I don't know if anyone's really paying attention. It sounds like everyone's shouting and you can't hear what anyone's saying. I don't go on Twitter.
It's still also such a different perspective for me. Not that I relish in all of this mess that goes on sometimes in our world, but I'll take a good 5 minutes just to scroll on my timeline and go, oh, okay. So this is what is happening. It's like a gauge of society. It's a slice of what is really happening. And let me just say, there are a lot of screwed up people.
Yeah.
And if you take it with a pinch of salt, you let it roll off your back and don't mind anything. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Sean says, Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone has recently been making appearances in some of my favorite YouTube channels. He's outgrown his weirdo stage and he's actually very funny and chilled out. Kevin McAllister for life. Well, yeah. Where did I heard him on... I think I heard him on Rogan not so long ago. He was very good. Like, he made sense. He's obviously had an interesting and unique experience. I mean, he was Michael Jackson's best friend for a while, remember?
Oh, yeah, that was odd.
Just a little.
He was in the black and white music video.
That's right.
But he's actually just recreated Home Alone for a new advert that he's done. So even though he's in like his late 30s now... Yeah. I think he's just lived. I think in Hollywood years, he's probably like a like a 55, definitely, given everything that he's been through. The drugs, the Michael Jackson, the tons of money, the no money at all. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting dude. So I would love to hear more from him. I mean, he also had this incredible, like, he was a child actor, and that's always a difficult thing to deal with. Because you grow up very, very fast, you get exposed to a world which is just unnatural, and for a kid, you get treated like a god at a very early age, which is not usually good for your development. And it's taken him a long time to get his story together. Anyway, so I've got this dinner tonight. I'm having a dinner at my house, mm-hmm. but everybody brings stuff, so it's not like I'm slaving over the stove. And if you did expect me to slave over the stove, it would be a disaster for both of us. Because you wouldn't get a nice meal, and I would be annoyed that I had to be in the kitchen. So everybody brings something. It's like 14 of us. It starts in the late afternoon.
Ooh.
Goes on into the evening. But then tomorrow morning, and part of the reason I'm not doing the show for tomorrow, is that I have to go straight to the airport, hop on a plane, and go to this wedding in Cape Town.
Are you not cutting it a bit too fine?
I am.
Oh,
If the plane's delayed, I will arrive at the wedding... exactly on time. But if the plane gets there on time, I'll have an hour to get ready.
What time's the wedding?
4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then I'm flying back exactly 12 hours later.
Yeah, I still don't understand why you did that to yourself.
Well, I felt bad because what I originally said to this couple, I wouldn't come to their wedding. I said to them, look, I'm not going to make it, guys. It's too tight. I've got these other... two weddings. I've got a lot of travel this year under the belt. I feel a bit spoiled. I don't want to overdo it. And then I went to the bachelor's and I felt so bad.
Oh no.
Yeah, because the guy was like, oh, you know, it would really mean so much to us. And because I thought, oh, please, I'm one of what, 200 people. They'll be fine. And I always imagine that's why I leave a party without saying goodbye. I say goodbye to the host, but I usually don't say goodbye to everybody.
You don't go around.
Nah, I sneak out because I think who cares whether I'm here or not. especially if it's going really well or if people are busy in conversation, you know, interrupt to make it all about you. Hi, I just wanted to interrupt your awesome conversation. The whole reason you had this party is because you want to talk to her. But I just want to inject myself into that quickly to tell you I'm going because I'm so important. You know what I mean?
Hey, you're talking to the wrong person because you know.
you probably relish that. I mean, for you, it's like, this is going to be the highlight of their night, is me telling them I'm leaving.
Well, not in that way. It's not about me. I just want to say, you know, we bonded over the evening. I need to say goodbye. Yes, it will add another 20 minutes to the original time I had said I was going to leave, but I'm still just going around and waving and calling it a night after that.
So he says, look, you got to come. We really want you there. And, you know, my fiance and I have known you a long time. So I went, oh, all right. Now I found out Alan Ford's going to be there as well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, listen, don't get me
wrong. We love Alan Ford.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I really do. I'm very fond of Alan, but, oh, God. He's going to come and sit at my table. Watch what's going to happen. I'm going to predict this, and I'll tell you in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And come and sit at my table, and Hannah, he's going to talk to me for... Oh, God, and half an hour in one block, and then I'm not going to be speaking to anyone else.
Mm-mm.
I'm probably going to be at a table of nice people, because that always happens at a wedding. It's very seldom that I've ended up at a table with shit people. And also, it's about how interested you are in them, right? So if you don't know them at all, it's down at a table of complete strangers, and you find out about each of them. It's like a project. At the end of it, you're like, wow, okay, I know you. I like you. You're okay. You're dodgy. That one's nice.
You're dodgy.
You know what I mean?
Can I also put a little guess into what might happen? He'll always try to retell great grand stories from years ago.
Yes. It'll turn into a nostalgia bubble.
But my favorite is when you scrunch up your face going, no, I don't remember that, Alan.
Because I don't.
Yes.
He always comes up with these stories. And like, I think he's got a setting in his brain that just embellishes bullshit. I mean, we had one or two really interesting experiences. I'll never forget that when he was my producer, we snuck into the presidential banquet, Madiba's last banquet and Thabo Mbeki's inaugural banquet. And we sat at a table with Richard Branson and ambassadors, and it was really pretty fucking amazing, actually. I got to meet Gaddafi and Yasser Arafat and a whole lot of people I would never have met in my life. I certainly would have gone out of my way to meet them. I thought those two were particularly onerous human beings, but it was this banquet. Madiba was there, and we got to talk to Thabo Mbeki and Aziz Pahad, and it was just a fantastic night. But he tends to, before you know it, Alan is like, yeah, and then we went back to the presidential guest house and we partied there until 4 a.m. I'm like, no, I really don't remember that.
That escalated very quickly. Yeah. And by now, does he not realize that you aren't a big holding on to the past person either?
He also likes to name drop, which he can't help it. He loves it, right? It's what he loves. He's good at it. He's if you can be good at name dropping, he's good at name dropping. Because he actually does know a lot of these people.
Yes.
So you never know what's 100% right and what's 80% right. And I'm not saying he's a liar either, because a liar would mean he's maliciously going around telling untruths.
Mm-hmm.
But for him, it's a very blurry line. And if he can tell a good story, he's happy to embellish.
You know, not embellish, Gareth, is such a strong word. It's just adding a bit of sparkle here.
Never
and
let
there.
The truth get in the way of a good story.
Oh, see?
That's his motto. So.
Simple. I'll write about this one day in a networking 101 book. But I think, you know, name dropping is key. And I've learned sly little ways of doing it.
Look, you also have to, if you want to be a good producer in media, you have to be able to name drop.
Because to be in those circles.
Yeah, otherwise people aren't going to take you seriously.
My friend Bussy. And they're like, well, there's only one Bussy, but Bussitani.
Wow,
like, yeah,
CNO's her.
You see? And you always just don't name drop with the original name. Name drop with the nickname. Because that further proves how close you are to that person. That's it.
Oh, man. I still don't know what I'm doing for New Year, but I don't think I'm going to go anywhere. I think I'm going to stay around here.
Makes it easier for you.
Well, I'll see what happens. I'd like You know how fun it is to cobble something together at the last minute? Mm. Also, I'll see who's in town.
No, my slight anxiety is not enjoying that.
Well, you told me you've already planned
it. Yeah.
But I think you and your blender with vodka and all this stuff. That's the real story of the holidays.
We are the holiday.
Are you going to go and stock up today?
Place to be. Oh, already stocked up.
Do you have a whole lot of stuff frozen in the fridge?
Over the weekend, I did some more frozen berry shopping. I have two types of, I have silver and
won't you Instagram
gold tequila.
Your freezer for us when you get home.
Oh, yeah. And right now, I was actually looking at it the other day going, you know, because I had some friends over and I have a friend who loves to cook. And she says, oh, you know what, Sia, it's fine. We don't have to bother because we're about to order in. She says, don't bother. Let me scramble, you know, and I'll make something from your fridge. I go, from what exactly? And she opens the drawers and it's literally just ice and...
Yeah, it's like my fridge. There's nothing in there that's edible.
It's ice and drinks and fruit, and there's nothing more, nothing less than that. So I'm ready for that.
Okay, but here, you know, people are always looking for something that'll make them the next big YouTube sensation. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be a massive star on Instagram if you just put up a recipe a day for the whole of the holidays.
I don't know just how do like 10 sober days. I'll be.
No, but that's okay, because that'll be part of the fun. Do 10 days of Sia's smoothies.
Sober as Sia. Sloshed as Sia.
Yeah, sloshed as Sia. Call it whatever you want, but it would be very cool.
The 12 I'd days watch. Of Christmas yeah. cocktails.
There we go, I'd watch that.
I need to trademark all of these ideas. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah, do it.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But on the note of New Year's Eve, I was actually chatting to two different people yesterday who were both telling me that they're just going to sleep. Sleep on the 31st.
Oh, no, that's depressing.
Wake up on the 1st, and it's just another day to them.
Nah, that's depressing. Sorry. Those people, they need friends. Need friends. You really want to be sleeping while everyone else in the whole world is making a big fuss of the fact that it's a brand new calendar year? Come on.
The one of the two, I had to really tell myself not to frown at them as they were saying this. They said they feel very close to God.
Okay. All right, that explains
in
it.
In the moment, they said they fast and they pray a lot.
This is a good friend of yours?
No.
Sounds like hard work.
2 seconds ago, we were talking about sloshed as Sia. Now this will be a friend of mine. Mm. No, not happening. So, yeah, it will be good. Everything will work out. It's fine.
Doing a stretch. Pre-holiday stretch. All right, here it is. The 5 things you need to know today. Yep. South African police say that they've approached Interpol to help enforce an arrest on Zimbabwean former First Lady Grace Mugabe. Good, because that girl who was assaulted with that extension cord... No, she hasn't had any justice. Now, if someone beat you up, you would want them to face the music. Afri Forum on Wednesday announced that an arrest warrant has been issued against Mugabe. Earlier this year, the lobby group won a high court application to review and set aside the government's decision to grant Mugabe diplomatic immunity after allegations emerged that she'd assaulted Gabriela Engels. Police spokesperson Vish Naidu says a process on the matter has been initiated with the international anti-criminal organization Interpol. Yeah, I don't know how the government thought they could get away with that just because she's married to a former president of Zimbabwe. She's a horrible person. She's a violent person. She took out her violence and her complete lack of responsibility on some young South African girl. Mm. And all these groups that are always standing up for, you know, the rights of women, and they were quiet. It had to be Afri Forum who stood up for this girl, which should make all of those groups that usually come up and are activists. Where's the ANC Youth League? I mean, the ANC Women's League. Where are they? Mm. Surely they should stand up for a woman who gets abused by someone powerful. I mean, isn't that exactly what oppression is? Is where someone powerful uses their position and their authority to do just whatever they want to someone who's weaker than them and then thinks they can get away with it, and then the government backs them to get away with it? If that isn't stock standard privilege, I don't know what is. And you don't hear the ANC Women's League rushing to Gabriela Engels' defense. This woman came across the border as she wants, because she's got this diplomatic immunity, or she did at the time, takes an extension cable to some young lady South African lady. And then just gaps it right across the border again with no hint of justice.
No accountability, nothing. And I hate to take this story to a negative, even more negative path, but something within me says this wasn't the first of its kind.
Oh, guaranteed. Can you imagine what she did to people in Zim?
There we go.
Because there she could get away with a whole lot more. I want to know, if you interviewed the women who work for her in the house that she lives in, I want to know how they get treated. Because if she's going to treat a complete stranger in a foreign country that way, with just disregard for that person's rights, imagine how she treats the people who actually are in her employ. That's a horrible person. You know, they always say someone who's mean to the waiter is usually mean to everybody else. Someone who kicks the dog is cruel to people. That's what they say.
See how people treat someone they can't get anything from.
Right, and when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the blazes rage on. The cause of the St. Francis Bay fire is still unknown, but the Overberg area on Wednesday is just a blaze. Fire department says that various fire units are on the scene fighting the blaze at the foot of the mountain. Overberg District Fire Chief Reinhard Geldenhuis says two fires have now merged. The authorities are trying to determine the cause of a fire that gutted several houses in the St. Francis Bay area in Eastern Cape. 13 homes are destroyed. So it's two separate fires, but they just don't have any new information on what caused the fires.
Mm.
The place is pretty flammable.
Yeah. I mean,
thatched roof houses and very dry scrub. I don't know what you could call that kind of vegetation, but there's a lot of dry wood, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been very hot. Hasn't been a huge amount of rain. I'd imagine that that's part of the problem too.
And Leanne and I touched on this briefly on Tuesday morning with the floods at Sun City. Like, all of these things are happening to these massive tourist destinations, and what a time for these things to occur. You know, this is peak tourist season.
Yeah.
They're losing out on money. It's quite unfortunate.
Yeah. I feel bad for the people whose houses have been lost, and obviously for all those people in the community who don't have jobs now or who are working hard to put things back together. But luckily, I suppose it's only 11 houses. So on the scale of the previous fire that they had there, it's not as bad.
Yeah, okay.
Have you heard about Jack Parow?
So did you see the original meme that he uploaded?
Well, it's like a picture of the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
And then a picture of three bottles of Jack Daniels.
His brand of
drink. Oh, it's his
drink.
Stuff?
Yeah.
It looks like Jack Daniels to me. I didn't even see the label. Okay. So he says, fuck it, this needs no caption. And then it's the next to the Jonas Brothers, it says Morphe's. And then next to his bottles of brandy, it says Dimana. And then someone climbed in, someone called La Cizwe, who says, what's good, Jack Parow? I am completely offended. Angry face, angry face, angry face. 2018 is ending and we still have homophobic people. I got bad news, La Cizwe. There are lots of homophobic people, and Jack Parow is probably not the one you should be most worried about. What is your intention with your tweet below? What is a Morphe? Jack Parow, you're cancelled. Well, no, La Cizwe, he's not cancelled. La Cizwe's got 320,000 followers?
Yeah.
Who is La Cizwe?
He is a YouTuber, and before that became big just by posting random videos on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jack Parow just basically posted an apology yesterday.
Not that that makes it any better or worse. I mean, I'm just...
No.
What a strange world we live in.
Gareth, you sound like
Jesus.
You've just entered the 21st century.
I don't know who this fucker is, but I mean, this guy's got 300,000 followers and I've never heard of him.
From posting videos on Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah. Aye, aye, aye. All right, so here's what happened. So Jack Parow obviously has immediately done what everybody does in this situation, is apologized. Because that's the biggest mistake you will ever make, is to apologize. I cannot say this enough. if you apologize, then it gets worse for you. It doesn't get better. Now, first of all, does anyone really believe that that meme is the most homophobic thing?
Not the most.
I don't love it. I don't think it's that funny, by the way. I wouldn't retweet that. But so what? Does this now mean that Jack Parow is waging war against the gay community? Obviously not. Again, people have no idea of scale. There are people who grow up in the townships who are lesbian and gay who get beaten up because they're lesbian and gay. Now, as far as I know, Jack Parow, who's been in here how many times, is a gentle soul. He talks a big game in his rap. He's not a nasty person. As far as I can tell, he's the most unlikely guy in the world to go around calling people morphies.
So according to him, and this is what he posted, he said that he has a social media team who works with him, and his manager's currently on leave, and because he trusts his social media manager, they don't have to approve everything that gets posted. So it was actually his social media team that posted this on his behalf without his approval, and he says for that he takes responsibility. He'll talk to the social media team, but yeah,
and don't apologize, dude. I see Brent Lindekue climbed in here, and I'm in a mind to pick up the phone and call Brent Lindekue and tell him to climb off his fucking soapbox. Brent says, "Hey Jack Parrow, you may have deleted the tweet, but that doesn't change the fact that you posted this in the first place. No matter how educated, talented, rich or cool you believe you are, how you treat people ultimately tells all. Integrity is everything, and this is not cool." It's a bad joke. It's a bad joke. You railing against him, Peter Rousseau, some guy called Peter Rousseau, I've never heard of him either. Is he also a YouTube star? No. Says, "At Jack Parrow, success to us. Remember, it's the LGBTQ+ that put outrageous on the map and made it acceptable to the mainstream media. Cease." Now, you're claiming a little bit too much there, Peter. I've never heard of you. You put nothing on the map. And if you're going to claim that your community, if you consider yourself first and foremost a member of the LGBTQ+ community, if you're going to claim all kinds of things on behalf of them, you'd better just do a research survey first. Make sure that all the other LGBTQ+ people feel the same way you do. L. Brody, he works for one of the magazines or something?
People magazine.
"Disappointed Jack Parrow has remained silent after his disgusting homophobic meme debacle erupted. Simply deleting a post doesn't make everything okay."
Love the tone when you read these things.
But it's because all these people are so self-righteous. Don't you realize it's going to be your turn one day? L. Brody, Brent Lindekue, Peter Rousseau.
How that wheel will turn.
Don't you realize one day it's going to be you? You're going to think you're being funny and someone's going to get upset with you. And you're going to be Jack Parrow. Are you going to climb onto yourself then? Fuck. Get over it. Someone called CC. "This is what I'm sad about. Nothing. No apology, sincere or not. No official statement from his management team. No feedback from the..." Why does he need to spend so much time making you feel better? Who do you think you are? Maybe you should just... If Jack Parrow matters to you that much, go to every show of his and hold up a placard. Or write him a sincere letter. Posting virtue signaling on Twitter doesn't mean a thing. And I'll tell you what. If he doesn't mean anything to you, why would you say anything about him? Why would you care about his opinion? I'm tired of this.
But also,
2018 must end so these people can go and get jobs.
Maybe it is how I just naturally am, and I'm not a conflict person, nor do I just engage in things that I don't care for at all. But there's a follow and unfollow button for a reason.
Right.
There will be a buy a song or not buy a song choice for a reason. There is the choice to go to a show or not go to a show for a reason. If I just think we overcomplicate things in life. You are now spending 12 minutes of your time drafting a tweet and you're posting it to Jack Parrow. If you really are offended, well, just move on and follow him. You can block him. Twitter, you can now mute words and phrases, so you can block his user handle. You can block the word Jack. You can block the word Parrow, so that nothing about him will ever pop up in your timeline. I don't
but
know.
you You've chosen to make it about you. You need a personal apology, which means to me you're crying out for attention. It's not actually about Jack Parra. It's about, please love me. And you're upset because he doesn't love you. Or anybody who's famous, who has some followers, doesn't love you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but Gareth, welcome to 2018.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Go on. Go and spend time with your family this Christmas. Get enough hugs to last you through 2019, please.
Go Twitter free over the holidays.
Do that. Well, that goes without saying. And here's something you should be upset about. We should all be upset about. The number of deaths recorded in the summer traditional initiation season in the Eastern Cape continues to climb. 19 boys have died so far. 19 innocent lives have been lost by stupid, outdated traditional practices that don't need to happen in this barbaric fashion. There are ways to medically have these things done where you're safe. If you're a traditionalist, there are ways to do it. Your kid does not have to die. But you see, because these are probably poor rural people, nobody cares. Nobody's outraged by that. No, let's get outraged by Jack Parra. I want to see how much Al Broidy and Bren Linda Q and Peter Rousseau and
La Cizwe
have said about this.
Well, it's because it doesn't affect them.
Exactly.
And so, that is why.
So it's about them. So this is all you need to know. If they really cared about anything, they'd be caring about stuff like this.
If we have to be very blunt, that's it.
So guys, I'm sorry. You've all lost points in my book. Jack Parra, not the best joke teller in the world. I'm not going to be listening out for his comedy routine anytime soon. But I know the guy. He's not a horrible human being. He doesn't mean to marginalize LGBTQ plus people. Come on.
You got the acronyms right. That's a mouthful.
The first time in 2018.
That's nick of time on your last show for the year.
I mean, do you care about this as a gay guy?
I move on. Exactly what I was saying. I unfollow. I wasn't even following Jack Parra to begin with, though, but it didn't matter to me. It's just like when this whole Kevin Hart thing and people were bringing up old tweets. Okay, well, you say that and then we move on. Doesn't change the price of my bread. I still get support and love from people who matter to me, and those are my family, my friends, the people I work with, the people who I'm around. And Kevin Hart, if one day we ever meet, okay, well, kudos, we might take a selfie, but don't think fundamentally I care about who you are as a person.
There we go.
That's just according to me.
Let's just go back to the story. The most recent incident, a 19-year-old teenage boy died 2 days ago in the Chris Hani district. The Eastern Cape Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Department says the cause of the initiate's death is unclear at this stage. Well,
yeah, I hate to be crass at this point, but why? Like, I wonder what kills you. Is it an infection?
Or they bleed to death?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're having the circumcision done with a rock or a piece of old rotten blade with something on it, and it's just dangerous, man. The department's Mamkelingam said, at the moment we are awaiting the post-mortem results to confirm the exact cause of death. Most of the boys died from dehydration and septicemia, and at least one initiate committed suicide. There's a lot going on here.
Ooh-wee.
The department has called for a thorough police investigation.
And this is still the mark of a man.
Well, I think the Eastern Cape Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Department should all be fired, because one death is too many. That's all they have to do, really. The most important role of a department like that is probably to oversee that children don't die. I think that would be a good starting point, and then we can worry about all the other shit. I think. But who the hell am I? Helen Ziller says she is ready to head to court after Busisiwe Mkhwebane's latest findings. Public Protector has found Western Cape Premier Helen Ziller violated the executive member's ethics code by exposing herself to a possible conflict of interest involving her son. Oh, yes. Ziller helped her son Paul Maria, who's a maths teacher in the province, loan tablets from the department to be used in extra maths lessons for matric pupils. Okay. If you're a teacher, and you are doing extra maths lessons for people who need extra maths lessons, and you borrow a bunch of tablets. You don't steal them and take them away. So that these extra maths classes will run better. And then you give the tablets back. Who's lost here? What's been lost?
The kids who are on the receiving end of this losing the opportunity.
Who? Which kids? The ones who weren't in the extra maths class?
Well, now they won't
who
be.
Weren't yeah. Who weren't using the tablets at the time? I don't understand. Doesn't make any sense at all. It seems like if you have to dig this deep for Helen Ziller, you can take it for granted she's not a crook. Because we don't have to dig very deep in other places. VBS Bank.
Yeah.
Eskom. I just see today the story about Fikile Mbalula and his trip to Dubai.
680,000 rands?
Right. Paid for by Sedgars, which is like a furniture company. So, which is the real problem? I mean, you know, I know that everybody thinks that there's this false equivalence that we have to show if the ANC do something wrong, we've got to show that the EFF and the DA have also done something wrong. But that's not
the case.
No, well, sometimes there are real transgressions and real corruption offenses. And sometimes there are things that you're digging so deep and you're going so far to try and prove someone's bad that it almost makes you look stupid. And I would say in the case of Fikile Mbalula, we have definite hints of corruption. In the case of Helen Ziller's son, borrowing some tablets from the department to be used in extra maths lessons and then giving them back, that doesn't sound to me like a serious problem. But I don't know. Cameron Dugmore of the Western Cape ANC laid a complaint with the Public Protector's Office claiming Ziller violated the province's code of ethics by influencing officials to allow her son access to tablets purchased by the Western Cape Education Department. So the Premier says Mkhwebane's finding is irrational. He was offering matric revision classes to his own class. He went to the principal and said, "Would you mind if we gave them to the other schools?" And the principal said he should do that. He went to the other schools and found out that the digital was not as good. He was earning not a cent for it. He volunteered his time. So I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. He went into a state school in Khayelitsha to help these kids with their extra maths. That seems like a good thing. Why is the mother being punished for something good the son did? Because false equivalence, that's what I'm thinking. All right, Sia, it's time for Said by Sia. That's quite enough politicking for this hour. We will get into the burning platform next.
Ooh.
And we'll meet one of our listeners who's come all the way from Dubai, right?
Yes.
Yes, to spend the morning with us. So we'll check in on that.
Technically, today's the last politicking of the year.
That's right, because we
tomorrow's have tomorrow's No Politics Friday.
No Politics Friday, and then we're all. Yeah. All right, yes. What's in Said by Sia?
This is so cool. I really do love the story this morning. It is all about this mantra, really, that I've been preaching over the past couple of weeks, Stu.
What's your mantra?
We can all just meditate on this. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have.
Oh, yes.
There is a businessman in the United States. His name is Peter Shankman. And he, largely for his work, has to travel a lot around the country. And this traveling, especially on airplanes, has now amounted to 300,000 miles, air miles, by the end of the year. And the last thing that he wants to do right now over the festive season is to actually use them up, because he just wants to sit at home and chill. So he's decided, for the fourth year in a row now, why don't I just give them away? So he actually puts a call out on his social media and he says, "Look, if you really, really, really need to fly somewhere, let me know, give me your details, we'll chat, and then I'll book a flight for you." And wow. This year he's been able to book flights for 5 different people, and in turn reuniting people with their families in the most extraordinary ways. Get ready for this, because it pulls a bit on the heartstrings. But for one of the winners of the air miles is 33-year-old Sarah Latham, who had been weighing a very painful dilemma. She isn't doing well financially, but her grandfather is actually dying from cancer. and lives in the other side of the country to her. And she knew that just flying to New York to see her grandfather over Christmas would land her in debt. Mm-hmm. And then if she skipped it, though, she might never see him alive again. And so, you know, this, what Peter Shankman has doing, just came in the perfect nick of time. So many other people as well were able to see their family. A woman who suffers from Parkinson's disease was able to see her son for the last time as well. Some families were able to be reunited. And so Peter Shankman has been doing this since 2014. And you really just think about, he's not breaking the bank here. He's not bending over backwards, but he's just being very realistic and saying, I have 300,000 air miles. I'm not going to use them. Why not just give it to someone?
Beautiful.
And I think that's so cool.
That's beautiful.
Do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. So kudos to you, Peter Shankman. And that's your Said by Sia for this morning.
I love it. Thank you, Sia. All kinds of inspiring. A very good morning to you all today. This is from Frances, who listens to us. She says, just wanted to let you know I've only just learned how to stream Cliff Central, and I'm so thrilled to be listening to you guys instead of my standard podcasts about serial killers. Now I have current events information to add to the conversations and don't just include serial killers. This is certainly helping my popularity in the office. Thank you for a hugely entertaining show. And Sia, your story about the little bridge in Bryanston. I know this bridge and have, on a number of occasions, had to make people reverse because they want to jump the queue. So when you told that story, there were massive cheers coming from my car. Have the best day, a beautiful Christmas, and a brilliant new year. That's from Francis. Hey, Francis, thank you very, very much. Makes my day. Really does. James says, why do you guys call Leanne ass? I missed that somehow. So we used to call her Leanne, and then we used to call her Lee ass, and then we just dropped the Lee. Now she's just ass. But that's what happens when you're around someone for like 9 years. You end up with nicknames, and you have to sometimes explain to people where the nickname comes from. Inati says, the highlight of this year is me becoming self-employed. It's been a great year. Thank you guys for great times. Well, well done to you, Inati. That's no small achievement, man. I was talking to someone who asked me for advice the other day. They said they're in their 20s and they want to start their own business. And I said, don't. Start your own business in your 20s. Learn on other people's money. Gain experience on someone else's dime. Let them send you on trips. Let them introduce you to people who will become your network. Let them pay you a salary. Don't risk your own money, your own time, your own reputation, which is only just growing in your 20s, to become your own boss. But if you've done that, Inati, and it's working for you, well done. Take some serious bravery to make that leap. And Lubabalo saying, is this the last show of 2018? It is for me. There's one more show tomorrow. See, and Deanne will handle that one.
And we have Nathan Rowe popping in as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys going to sing some Christmas songs?
We'll hold hands, sing Kumbaya.
Good.
Sing It's You, It's True.
That's fantastic. And then just this, Dari, who works here in our office, is doing her annual 80s show with Ben. Paolo and Dari, that's one of the co-hosts, Paolo, recorded their annual 80s show the other day, and they got talking about the TV show reboots from the 80s and ones which haven't been done yet. And she said, you've got to play this clip and tell everyone the show will play out on Christmas Day at 10 a.m. All right, Dari, here it is.
Since you are so nicely.
She says, you have to. So here it is. This is a little promo.
What other 80 shows did we have comedy-wise? Golden Girls? That wouldn't work.
You could never redo the Golden Girls.
I don't know. That'd be,
well, you could if you made it dark humor and they were just a bunch of randy old trouts who are now in like an old age home and they're just causing all kinds of havoc. That would be funny.
So you'd have to go super dark, though.
Like super dark. Like they're running like a Viagra ring and they're just peddling to these guys. And like, that would be funny.
You could get Bruce Jenner could play the Ruth role.
Yeah.
Who's Bruce Jenner, Paolo?
The B. Arthur. Oh, Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner could be the B. Arthur role.
That would be brilliant. What a fantastic idea.
I'm telling you.
Like Betty White would still be Betty White.
Yeah, she's fine.
You know, she's still there.
She looks much the same.
This is a reboot that should happen.
I think I'm onto something. Jennifer Aniston could be the old lady. Let's be honest. She's trying, but I mean, let's just go gracefully, Jen.
Oh. All right. Lots of controversy there. The 80s show happening on Christmas Day at 10 a.m. You get to hear it first on cliffcentral.com. Spread the word.
Ring.
Yeah, Viagra ring for the Golden Girls. That's just one of the things they talk about. My God, get down and dirty. All right, it is 5 minutes after seven. The Burning Platform, as brought to you by Nando's. You've come to expect it every single week. That's next.
This is CliffCentral.com.